This is Fresh Air. The blockbuster season begins with Avengers: Age of Ultron, the second film to bring together heroes from different Marvel screen adaptations to battle an enemy too big for just one. Here, Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Hulk, and many others are united under the direction of Joss Whedon. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
2 decades ago, film series became franchises. The new term, previously used for, say, Burger Kings, meant to appeal to studios' corporate owners. Then came the term tentpole, when a franchise is so successful it can take care of a studio's overhead by itself and make a lot of smaller movies, from a business standpoint, unnecessary. Now comes the latest buzzword, universe, a tentpole franchise that spins off a whole constellation of other franchises in films, books, TV shows, and games. It's the Big Bang of synergy. At the center of the universe stands Joss Whedon's Avengers: Age of Ultron, which seems less like a film than a collection of seeds for other films. As a piece of classical storytelling, it's a disgrace. But if you're a Marvel Universe person, and there are hundreds of millions, it will thrill you to bits. All those characters, all those expensive special effects. It opens with the Avengers, Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Hulk, Hawkeye, Black Widow, in mid-battle, attempting to snatch Loki's scepter from Hydra leader Baron Strucker. If that sounds like gobbledygook, well, the sequence looks like gobbledygook. And if you haven't been watching the TV show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's incoherent. But the sequence does introduce two fascinating super beings to the Marvel screen universe: the brother-sister Maximoff twins, the dream-weaving Scarlet Witch, played by Elizabeth Olsen, and the hyper-fast Quicksilver, played by Aaron Taylor-Johnson. Hold on, Quicksilver was in some X-Men movies, but that universe hasn't yet been linked to this one, so cosmic disconnect. Here's the thrust of this film. After the extraterrestrial invasion of the last Avengers film, Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man, played by Robert Downey Jr., enlists Bruce Banner, a.k.a. Hulk, played by Mark Ruffalo, to create an interface for a planetary defense computer super program. Stark says it will bring peace in our time. Famous last words. What happens is said super program, Ultron, voiced by James Spader with his built-in basso sneer, unexpectedly concludes that the only way to save the planet is to kill the people. Other Avengers, among them Chris Hemsworth's Thor, Chris Evans's Captain America, and Don Cheadle's War Machine, are mighty peeved at Stark for his Frankenstein program.
This could have been avoided if you hadn't played with something you don't understand.
Sorry. I'm sorry. It is funny. It's a hoot that you don't get why we need this.
Tony, maybe this might not be the time.
Really? That's it. You just roll over, show your belly every time somebody snarls.
Only when I've created a murder bot.
We didn't. We weren't even close. Were we close to an interface?
Well, you did something right. And you did it right here. The Avengers were supposed to be different than S.H.I.E.L.D.
Anybody remember when I carried a nuke through a wormhole?
No, it's never come up.
Save New York?
Never heard that.
Recall that? A hostile alien army came charging through a hole in space. We're standing 300 feet below it. We're the Avengers. We can bust arms dealers all the live long day, but that up there, that's the end game. How are you guys planning on beating that? Together.
Joss Whedon takes the Avengers universe seriously enough to introduce some big themes. Self-styled mad scientist Iron Man believes in a better world through technology. Captain America worries that every time someone tries to stop wars before they start, it leads to war and fascism, which he fought in World War II and sees again in Ultron. Thor and a new Avenger, Vision, decide humans' fatal mistake is thinking order and chaos are opposites, suggesting the Marvel future is in Buddhism. Happily, Whedon learned from such films as Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid how to mix adolescent hero worship with smart-aleck banter. His superheroes make super-heroic declarations, then deflate their pomp with shrugs and quips. The scenes that anchor the film are the loosest: demigods drinking, insulting one another, trying to pick up Thor's hammer. Whedon does everything well except action. Nothing he and his effects wizards do has the graphic punch of the best comics. But the Marvel aesthetic is bombardment. You're so blitzed by the sound and fury and sheer volume, you barely register what's missing. Scarlett Johansson somersaulted away with the first Avengers as the unflappable Black Widow, but here she has a beauty-beast relationship with Hulk and becomes rather mushy, as does Mark Ruffalo, whose Bruce Banner, when he's not the Hulk, is a full-time mope. Downey is more than ever a little king and borderline unpleasant, but the forthright hunkiness of Hemsworth and Evans has its old-fashioned virtues, and Elizabeth Olsen makes the Scarlet Witch so charismatically damaged she steals the movie. What bothered me most about Avengers: Age of Ultron is that, after its terrible start, I enjoyed it. Whedon created Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Firefly. His own heart is so pure, he makes this corporate product seem benign. When his superheroes said the way to save the world was by coming together, I forgot that superheroes coming together make for the kind of franchise tentpole universe movie that I believe could swallow Hollywood more efficiently than Ultron.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine. For the next 5 Friday nights, he's introducing the films of Orson Welles on Turner Classic Movies to mark the centennial of Welles' birth. What do kids in Little League want their parents to do at the game?
The overwhelming answer is absolutely nothing.
That means no screaming, swearing, or even shouts of encouragement. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with former Major League catcher Mike Matheny about coaching Little League, the subject of his new book. Matheny now manages the St. Louis Cardinals. Join us. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham, with additional engineering support from Joyce Lieberman and Julian Hertzfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Our associate producer for online media is Molly C.B. Nesper. Roberta Shurrock directs the show. For Terry Gross, I'm David Bean Cooley.